teaching the youth about roots and culture. Tell the masses them to remember Jah. That's all I need when I am. Well, CKUT is a messenger. Teaching the youth about roots and culture. And tell the masses them to remember Jah. That's all I need when I am. Well, 90.3 FM. It's CKUT, the Cultural Radio Station. Radio McGill. Blessed love. The messenger. Take it away.
Magandang hapon. Nakikinig po kayo sa Radio Kapwa, where all Filipinos are Filipino.
You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM.
Magandang hapon po sa inyong lahat. Welcome to Radio Kapwa. France Stoner on the ones and twos, joined by Desiree Ruiz, Veronica Bertiz, and our amazing sound engineer, Laura Kaluya. Hi, everyone. So happy to see you here today.
Hello. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Hi, friends.
Hi, friends. Veronica speaking. Doing great. Had a very packed week, but we managed.
I love that. Yeah, it was a pretty big week last week for me too. I work in higher education and it was back to school for CEGEP, so I felt a little bit bombarded. So for today's icebreaker question, I actually wanted to talk a little bit of some comfort food, you know? I know poutines are comfort food for a lot of Montrealers, a lot of Montreal, Quebec folks. So what is your favorite poutine in the city? I know we have a lot of debates over this, just like the Saint-Viateur and Fairmount debate. That might be our icebreaker for next time. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I really, really, really love the poutine at Patati Patata. So their original location is on Saint-Laurent and Rachel. And I just love their like thinly sliced home fries. Their gravy does not come in a powder packet form that they mix with water. They literally boil bones and like make their own gravy. And yeah, that's squeaky cheese. And what I really love about them too is, yeah, there's a few options where you could add like veggies or extra meat, maybe not as many options as Banquise, which for me personally is like too many options. So yeah, Patati Patata is my joint. Saint Laurent, Rachel, and they actually recently opened a location in the Jean Talon market, which is really fun. So it's nice to see local businesses getting bigger. What's your favorite poutine, folks?
Ooh, I was debating either Patati Patata, and then you mentioned about it, and you said the one at Saint Laurent. I'm like, we have the one at Jean Talon. When Matilda and I are like feeling a little bit lazy and you want to just have like our own time, we just walk there, like with my chinelas, and that's it. I just walk in there and the people look at us, we're just like, oh yeah, they're probably most likely going to order poutine. And Patati Patata or Frites Alors on the other side, I'm just like, do I go to the east side or to the west side? Where do I go to? Because for me, it's really like you have to get the potatoes right. So you mentioned it, friends, the potato is like crispy, but still kind of soft inside. The gravy has to be right. It has to be the right ratio to put on. And it has to be warm enough to melt the cheese, the squeaky cheese. So for me, and also comfort food. So when I'm having a very shitty day, it's like either I want nilaga, pho, or poutine, whichever one comes first. And I'm privileged enough to be able to just walk through these restaurants and then get authentic poutine or authentic pho, or I just make my own nilaga, I guess. So it's really hard. Don't make me choose. But in terms of proximity, I would say Patati Patata is really close by. Frites Alors is also close by. But also, I used to work and share the same kitchen with La Fleur. And so it's hard not to say La Fleur, but it's really good. So there's that for me.
Oh my goodness. I have never been to Patati Patata, but clearly I have to make a run next time I'm in the city. So favorite poutine. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one restaurant. I don't eat poutine that often. I used to be a bartender. Fun fact about me, I used to bartend during my university days, and I managed nightclubs for a very long time on Saint Laurent Street. So I ate poutine on a regular basis during that time. And it was, the 3:30, 4 a.m. run at La Belle Province. And it was probably because I was famished, and it was like the, you know, like they would bring in the poutine at the end of the night, and it was the best thing. It was the only thing that you wanted after working a long shift in a bar. So that was La Belle Po on Saint Laurent Street. But I also, as I was listening to all of you talk, I really love, again, Vero, hands-on, like the sauce to cheese to crispy fry ratio was very, very important. I also really like when the sauce is a little bit, there's like a bit of spice to it. And I haven't been there in a long time, but the restaurant that came up was Fritalor. I feel like they have crispy fries and the sauce is a bit spicy. So might go there after trying patati patata. But in terms of proximity, I am on the South Shore. And if and when I do go for poutine on the South Shore, I would say La Fleur's. Actually, my friend's father is Greek, and beautiful immigrant story, came here and, you know, no education, worked at La Fleur's, and then slowly but surely over the last few decades owned, he passed away a few years ago, but built an empire with that chain. So I go to their restaurant in the South Shore. So I would say La Fleur's to support my friends. It is a big chain, but again, just knowing that immigrant story makes it feel right for me. So La Fleur's on the South Shore, and Fritalor anywhere else. And shout out to my bartending days, I would say La Belle Province. And France is laughing because she was probably eating poutine at the same time as me, working a few bars down.
I love that. I actually have like poutine places that I loved growing up, but that was when I was living in Côte des Neiges, so, and I miss them so dearly. There's one in Plaza Côte des Neiges that's called, it's a restaurant called Pita Burger.
I just ate last night there,
and I love their poutine there, like, because I lived like right across the street from Plaza Côte des Neiges, so if I was just hungry I would go there. And I also really love the poutine at Tarbouche, which is a shisha place. I used to study there all the time, and getting a poutine there was just my go-to. In terms of proximity now, though, Costco, since I live in the West Island.
That's funny.
Yeah, but that's all. Yeah, so Costco and Pita Burger and Tarbouche.
I love it. You guys are making me all hungry. But thank you for those lovely answers. And today we have as our guest a sound engineer named Benny Mestizo, and we're going to ask him what his favorite poutine is in the city when he comes in. Enjoy our show.
I'm personally so excited for the listeners to get to know my mentor, Kuya Benny. He took me on as his apprentice this year, and I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to experience anything that I do as an audio engineer if not for him. Now, while we get Benny on the call for this episode, please enjoy I Wish You Love by Joe Bataan.
To give your heart some leafy glade. I wish you health, but more than wealth. I wish you love, so much love, girl. Love, so much love.
Welcome back, everyone, to Radio Kapwa CKUT 90.3 FM. We are so excited to be joined today by Benny Mestizo. Benny Mestizo is the founder of Hiraya Productions, which is the production company that helps us out here with our show. He is a wonderful sound engineer, community mentor, and I have to say I'm a little pissed at him today because he is an amazing musician and singer, and I wanted to like make you guys listen to some of his music today, and he effing swiped his YouTube, so I couldn't find Winter Wonder City, so I'm a little bit pissed at you, Benny.
I'm so sorry. I think I removed it when I was planning on making a comeback years ago, because I'm, to put it in context, I'm retired from performing, because I started focusing more on production and audio engineering and
Well, I love that. Let's start there. Yeah. How about you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your journey? I just needed to express my anger. But can you please introduce yourself? Tell us about your journey. And we actually always love to start with a little icebreaker question. Can you tell us what your favorite poutine in the city is as well?
Ooh, in the city, I want to say it's, I'm torn between, of course, Orange Julep. The Kerry hot dog's pretty good.
Oh my gosh, those are my husband's choices.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, I feel like I had a really good one recently, but I forgot where it was. But yeah, I think those are my two go-to spots.
Love it.
Yeah.
Now that we know that, tell us more about you.
Yeah, so started off in music as a rapper, learned production because I didn't have anyone to make beats for me. So, and kind of fell in love with beat making more than the rapping aspect of it. And through beat making, really got into audio engineering. And I'm doing more audio engineering than production now, the creative side of it, and worked for a music producer for a few years. And when COVID hit, went and branched out on my own. Things grew faster than I expected. It's funny because I was more focused on music production before, but when COVID hit, I had a lot of free time. So I was like, well, what are my weak points? And I thought my mixing wasn't up to par. And I started focusing on that. And now it's the main, it's my bread and butter. And that's what people hire me for. And I ended up starting my own company, took on an apprentice that is with us right now.
That's me.
Yeah, no, things are going great. I'm doing a lot of mixing for both music and television, and the company is growing. It was important for me to give it a Filipino name to the company because the landscape of entertainment in Quebec is very lacking in diversity. And to me, it was my way of giving us a professional space, you know, and show other Filipinos that, you know, it's not just a pipe dream. It's an actual career choice. And that's pretty much my last few years professionally speaking. Yeah,
that's amazing. And I just want to take a moment here to pause for a second because Benny is like really, really humble. Okay, so he doesn't really like to toot his own horn. And I also have to say that like he is a wonderful, you know, Filipino musician, music producer that we don't hear talked about a lot in our community because he actually serves a lot of like the Quebecois music industry. So I just want to shout out the fact that he has supported so many Quebecois big names. He has supported so many like Parisian, French, like pop music big names, but in the Filipino community we don't know about this gem that we have because he is trying to infiltrate this kind of very white space, this very French speaking space. So for those who don't know, like Benny has worked with big names like Wyclef Jean, Impos. He does some sound engineering for Occupation Double, which is a really, really big reality show here in Quebec, you know. So like, yes, absolutely, we need to be disrupting these spaces. And I know exactly what you're talking about, Benny, because we're in this conversation this week because I was invited to this panel at HEC on mental health of marginalized communities. And I am the only racialized person on this panel, right? So it's like this Quebecois landscape that does want, that talks about being inclusive and about diversity, how it's actually like such a fight for us to get in, right? So I just wanted to like take a moment to say hats off to you for trying to infiltrate these really tricky spaces, right?
Yeah, I think I saw a video, it was probably on TikTok because that's where a lot of my information comes from these days. But and it was about, because you know, when you're half white, it comes with a lot of privileges, and you can use those privileges to uplift the rest of your community. And the person in the video said, you know, like, well, it wasn't necessarily just about Filipinos, but it was like people of color that are half white and can act as scouts and infiltrate. I think I like the word infiltrate because that's what I'm trying to do. And one of the reasons why I took on Laura as an apprentice is also because the entertainment industry is lacking in both people of color and women. It's a very white male space, and we need more badasses like Laura to disrupt everything and you know, make their space professionally. And it's there's so much, especially in our community, there's so much as far as music goes. You go anywhere around the world and in a lot of you go, like, let's say in Dubai and stuff and places like that, and you all the entertainers, the in-house entertainers are all, like, most of the times Filipinos. We talk a lot about our OFWs in terms of healthcare, but we also have a lot of OFWs in terms of entertainment everywhere around the world. And I think it's really time in that we take up those professional spaces that are paid well, you know, to have our people less exploited. And Yeah, no, that's it's disrupting these spaces is really something that I'm trying to do, and more even more so since I've become independent and start funding my own company.
Oh my God, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing, Benny, and thank you so much for being here.
I love being here.
Yeah, so amazing. I'm curious. I mean, you had mentioned that you're mixed, and I'm, you know, France and I are raising mixed race kids, right? Mm-hmm. And I would just, you know, love to hear more about, you know, or not hear more, like, what would you like parents raising mixed race kids to know? You know, please share this. Share some of your experience with friends and I.
My experience was, I've spoken to a lot of mixed kids. My experience is somewhat different than a lot of mixed kids. Just to make it quick, so my mom is French Canadian, my dad's Filipino. My dad wasn't around. My mom and my dad were in a long distance relationship for like 5 years, and when they broke up, my mom came back to Montreal because they were in Florida, and my mom came back to Montreal and oops, she was pregnant. So so my dad wasn't around a lot. We'd speak on the phone, and because he when I was around 7 or 9, he moved from the States back to the Philippines, so it was even harder back then. It wasn't as easy to stay connected back then, but my mom made an effort. She was conscious that she was raising a kid that was from a culture that was, you know, partly from a culture that I don't like to say partly, I like to say full of both, but that wasn't hers. So she made a lot of effort. She would call my uncle in Florida. She didn't know a lot of my dad's family, so she would call my uncle in Florida, ask for recipes. She actually worked in Uptown at Uptown Volvo back then. And she had a lot of Filipino coworkers, so she would ask her coworkers, where can I get food? Can you write down some words that he can learn and stuff like that? So I think it's really to be conscious of your kid's background and try to learn as much as you can about it. It's probably a lot easier when both parents are still like physically present. To have balance, because I grew up wanting to know more about my Filipino culture and I was very thirsty for it. So because a lot of my family on my dad's side is on the West Coast. And when I was 16, we had our first like actual big family reunion. And one of my cousins, who's high school friends with Czar from Campion, who used to be called Pinoy Apparel, was really into like pre-colonial Filipino history, and I learned like so much in like 2 weeks while I was there. And so that was a blessing for me to get introduced to Filipino history through pre-colonial history, you know, so I didn't have to decolonize as much as others. So I was put in a pretty privileged position right there.
That's so beautiful. And that's like also kind of how you and I connected.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we met through the community in organizing with Kabatang Montreal, which was like over a decade ago, yeah. a Filipino youth organization that unfortunately doesn't exist anymore. But I just wanted to make a point of something that you were saying that I think is just like so, so important. And I'm really mindful of it too, is I never call my son half of anything. Mm-hmm. Like he's not half of anything. He mm-hmm. really isn't, right? He is Latino and he is Filipino. And I actually try to catch myself and I'm like, no, he's Latinx and he's Filipinx, because he's going to choose like what his gender identity mm-hmm. is and what that looks like. But those are two whole beautiful mm-hmm. identities and universes that are kind of coming together, and he is not part of something and part of something else. It's two mm-hmm. wholes that come together. So what I'm hearing from you is, as much as possible, if the parents are there, if the parents are present, you want to see each parent showing interest in the other culture mm-hmm. is yeah. what I'm hearing. Yeah. And I think that's like so amazing. And I feel like my instinct was kind of on point, because pre-baby, and even like pre-getting married, I made a point of telling my husband, Mike, that like, I want to make sure you come to the Philippines, and then I want to make sure I go to El Salvador before we kind of settle into this life, you know, that we're trying to build together. And I have to say, like, it just made a huge difference in our relationship of like him coming to the Philippines. And don't get me wrong, not just coming to like Palawan and like seeing beautiful beaches, right? No way. Like, he came to the Philippines, we went during Typhoon Haiyan, we did some relief volunteer work in like complete devastation, we went to visit slums, we went to spend time with family, we went to spend time in community organizations. So it's like I really showed him not just like the touristy part of the Philippines. And then same thing when I went to El Salvador with him, we went to the beautiful beaches, the nice touristy stuff, but also went to visit like the areas where there are hardship and talk to his family and people on the ground of like what actually goes on here. And I think that it's really helped like feed our parenting, because you want to instill all that culture in your children, right? So thank you so much for sharing that. And I see folks nodding, so I'm going to pass the mic. I'm sure there's so many other thoughts.
I just want to shout out to your mom, honestly, like as you were talking about the your mom, and we had this beautiful conversation a few years ago at our Home is in the Body event, but I just want to shout out to your mom. And I love how, you know, given the fact that your father wasn't here, she was like, no, I want to expose my son. And she was really looking for it. So really, really shout out to your mom for doing that. And again, because the experience is completely different. So at that Home is in the Body event, my mixed race baby was, you know, there. And she was like, wow, everybody, because again, I always say, you're not a fraction, exactly what Fran says. She's like, I'm half, her father's from France. So I'm half French, I'm half Filipino. I'm like, no, you are full Filipino, full French, born in Canada. You're not a fraction. And at that event, she was like, wow, people actually look like me. Because again, I don't know what the experience is, right? She's with her father who's white, and then she's with her mother who's Filipino. So I don't know what she feels like when she goes into spaces. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing the experience with your mother as well. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to echo that. And also I just want to say how like I'm giggling here, looking at my kuya Benny. it's so weird for me to say it, but I'm just like, wow, he's doing it. And then sharing your story with your mom, it like actively taking a note for someone who is with a white partner too. And like Matilde is literally humming Tagalog songs and sometimes would play Tagalog songs. And I'm like, you don't even understand. And she goes, I want to understand it though. And so like echoing what Franz and Desi, like she said, like she wants to like get to know more of our culture, and then also like get to know her culture, and then yeah, get to know her culture. And she goes, it's just fair that I know French and I'm really like impliqué, and I know the politics and so. And then she goes, it's just nice to like know about you too, because that's part of you, and that will be part of something that we want to project to our children, so to speak. And anyway, as you mentioned, Benny, you were like, you know, we're Filipinos, we're known as caregivers, but also we're very maate, we're really good with our arts, right? So I'm trying to reuse that word and like take ownership of that, or we are maate, that is true, we are very maate. So my question to you would be, how has music helped you connect to your Filipino roots?
Well, a lot. It was the main conduit, because my dad, as I mentioned, my dad wasn't really around. My dad was a drummer in a cover band back when nightclubs had cover bands before DJs. So he toured the Philippines when he was like 17, 18, left, stayed in Japan for like 5 years, moved to the US through Hawaii and then Vegas, even played with the Commodores. Back then, he was they were the resident band at the Stardust Hotel, when the Stardust Hotel was like the big hotel in Vegas. So that's how I connected to music, was like that, and knowing more and more about the culture of OFW bands from the Philippines, and yeah, that's, and getting into music was my way also of connecting with my dad, and connecting with my dad was my way of connecting with my Filipino heritage.
Beautiful is what I can say. You know, I always tell people it's either the music or food, and we can do it both too, right? You know,
let's go
to a dinner in a Filipino restaurant with good Filipino music, and that's it, c'est parti. This is who we are. So It's a good way to connect. I think Laura has like a last question for Kuya Benny.
I wanted to ask, in what ways have you been told you weren't Filipino enough? What does Kapwa mean to you also?
It's, I think at first I took it a little harsh when I would have family members saying, oh, you don't look Filipino, you look American. And it gets even sadder when you realize that to them, it's a good thing. That's the most heartbreaking part is, I mean, because you can interpret something that someone tells you in 50 different ways, but when you start realizing how colonized we are and how our community doesn't think that brown is beautiful, like, I don't think that mixed Filipinos should be the beauty standard. And having my family say, oh, you should, when you go to the Philippines, you should, you know, start acting. I'm like, why? I'm not an actor. There's talented actors there already. Why the hell should I go and take someone's job there? You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I think that's when it's the first implications of, oh, you don't look Filipino, and as if that was a good thing. And I think at that moment I did start feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not Filipino enough. Also maybe the fact that I don't speak Tagalog, but I am learning, by the way. I'm currently learning Tagalog, but
we should talk together during sessions.
Also, fun note, yesterday a white Quebecois artist introduced us to a Skustakli song that neither Laura or I knew about, and we looked at each other like, damn, we failed on that one.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, would you like to make a suggestion of a song that we play on the radio?
What was it? It was Skustakli and Glock 9.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, well, we
how is there a Glock 9 song you didn't know, Benny? I am very disappointed. Like, I feel like we were raised in Glock 9 music at Kapatang Montreal.
Karma.
It's that one.
Okay.
Because the artist is also, he's a dancer and choreographer. And it's one of his friends who is a Filipino from Quebec City who moved recently to Montreal, who's also a choreographer, who showed him this music video because he wanted to show him the choreography. But like, Laura and I looked at each other like,
how did we not know this?
Well, now we know, and we're going to play it for sure.
Awesome.
So that's coming up next. Thank you so much for coming onto the show, Benny.
Thank you for sharing, Benny. Thank you for being here.
Thanks to all of you, and thank you for having me.
And up next is Karma by Skustakli featuring Glock 9. Huwag kang magkakamali, iwanan ako muli. Subukan mong saktan ulit ang puso ko. Di ka nagkakamali, ako'y matagal lang praning. Tignan mo ang nangyari sa dinulot mo. Huwag mo akong sisihin sa nangyari sa atin.
Nagpadaig ka sa tukso, mayong mananatili ka ng lumpo. Di na matatahimik ang iyong mundo. Huwag na, huwag mo kong hamunin. Hindi mo na ako kaya pang pagurin. Kahit malayo, kaya kang habulin. Hanggang sa himalayan mo. Huwag mo akong sisihin sa nangyari sa atin. Sa akin, mo sa akin.
sino sa akin ang ipapalit. Pag iniwanan mo ako'y huwag ka nang babalik. Di ka nasusunduin sa hagdan ng matarik. Kasi nanliligaw lamang ang pumapanik. Ako ito, teka, baka nakakalimot ka na. Gutom kong nilunok ang kahuli-hulihang tingnan. Siguraduhin mong malinis ang panyo mong dala. Dahil mababasaya ang luhang may konting singahe. Pag hinayaan talagang nawiwili. Kung hindi ako ay galingan mong pumili. Alam natin pag hindi bumuka ang kabibialin sa dalawa. Masarap o kadiri. Di nagsisinungaling ang amoy ng kilikili. Pag narinig mo to ay tandaan mong maigi. Nang malaman mong nasa huli ang pagsisisi. Paglapag ng bagong kanta.
Kasi hanggang mamatay.
Have always been part and parcel, if not imperative and critical to the struggle. Filipinas are no strangers to wielding our own power. Of all the privileges that exist in this world, none of which you may be a benefactor of, there is at least one you bear, and that is the privilege of having been born a Filipina. Your DNA contains building blocks made from the mud of over 500 years of resistance and survival, and when you are ready, sis, we'll be right here, right here, right here.
Island woman rise, walang makakatigil. Brown, brown woman rise, alamin ang yung ugat. They got nothing on us, nothing on us, nothing on us, nothing on us. Island woman rise, walang makakatigil. Brown, brown woman rise, alamin ang yung ugat. They got nothing on us, nothing on us, nothing on us. Isang bagsak.
You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM, and that was Us by Ruby Ibarra, Classy, and Faith Santilla.
Welcome to Quick Career Minute, hosted by your Ate Aleli. I'm the founder of The Informal and your first-generation professional career mentor.
Do you coffee chat? I love recommending coffee chats to explore career paths and non-traditional career journeys, to learn about specific jobs and different industries. You can build your connections and practice networking, improve your job search and interviewing skills. With coffee chats, you can even find representation from someone who understands your career struggles and life realities, and maybe even meet your next mentor.
For more career advice, you can find me on Instagram at _theinformal or visit theinformal.ca.
Shout out to Ate Aleli and her Quick Career Minute in every episode, helping us all grow. Thank you for the advice and the coffee chats. Up next, we have John Marvin today giving us both local Montreal news and Philippines news this fine Wednesday afternoon. Take it away, John Marvin.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes, a youth leader and a community organizer here bringing you important news back home in the Philippines. For this week's news, we will be talking about Philippine education. The article is from CTV News with a title, Philippine Kids Back in School After 2 Years Lost to Virus. Millions of students wearing face masks steamed back to primary and secondary schools across the Philippines on Monday for their first in-person classes after 2 years of coronavirus lockdowns that are feared to have worsened alarming illiteracy rates among children. Officials grappled with daunting problems, including classroom shortages, lingering COVID-19 fears, an approaching storm, and quake damaged school buildings in the country's north to welcome back nearly 28 million students who enrolled for the first school year. In a grade school in San Juan City in the capital region, teachers checked the temperatures of students and sprayed alcohol on their hands before letting them into classrooms. Renaline, 27, excitedly gave last-minute instructions to her son, who was going to school for the first time. "I have mixed feelings, worried and excited," she told the Associated Press. Only about 24,000 of the nation's public schools, or about 46%, were able to begin in-person classes 5 times a week starting Monday, while the rest will resort to a mix of in-person and online classes until November 2nd, when all public and private schools are required to bring all students back to classrooms, education officials said. But about 1,000 schools will be unable to shift entirely to face-to-face classes during the transition period for various reasons, including damage to school buildings wrought by a powerful earthquake last month in the north, officials said. The Department of Education said some schools will have to split classes into up to 3 shifts a day due to classroom shortages, a long-standing problem, and to avoid overcrowding that could turn schools into new centers of coronavirus outbreaks. "We always say that our goal is a maximum of 2 shifts only, but there will be areas that would have to resort to 3 shifts because they're really overcrowded," Education Department spokesperson Michael Poa said on Friday. Despite many concerns, education officials gave assurances that it's all systems go for Monday's resumption of classes, he said. Senator Joel Villanueva, however, said such assurances have to be matched by real improvements on the ground. "The era of missing classrooms, Sharing tables and chairs and holding glasses under the shade of trees must no longer happen, said Villanueva, who filed two bills calling for additional grocery, transportation, and medical allowances for public school teachers. Among the worst hit by the pandemic in Southeast Asia, the Philippines under then President Rodrigo Duterte enforced one of the world's longest coronavirus lockdowns and school closures. Duterte, whose six-year term ended on June 30, rejected calls for a resumption of in-person classes due to fears it might ignite new outbreaks. Prolonged school closures sparked fears that literacy rates among Filipino children, already at alarming levels before the pandemic, could worsen. A World Bank study last year showed that about 9 out of 10 children in the Philippines were suffering from learning poverty or the inability of children by age 10 to read and understand a simple story. Prolonged school closures, poor health risk mitigation, and household income shocks had the biggest impact of learning poverty, resulting in many children in the Philippines failing to read and understand a simple text by age 10, UNICEF Philippines said in a statement. Vulnerable children such as children with disabilities, children living in geographically isolated and disadvantaged areas, and children living in disaster and conflict zones fare far worse, the UN Agency for Children said. POWA said 325 temporary learning spaces were being constructed in northern Abra province and outlying regions to replace school buildings battered by a July 27 quake. Education officials also scrambled to help more than 28,000 students look for new schools after at least 425 private schools closed permanently following the pandemic's arrival in 2020, mainly due to financial losses. About 10,000 of the students have been enrolled in public schools, POWA said. Poverty has also been a key hindrance to education. Crowds mobbed the Department of Social Welfare and Development offices on Saturday to claim cash aid for indigent students, resulting in the injury of at least 26 people who were pinned in entrance gates. The article I just read is written in August 22nd. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. This is once again John Marvin, a youth leader and a community organizer, here bringing you local news for this week. The article I will be sharing with you is from City News Everywhere with a title, New Mural Honoring Montreal Cancer Advocate Nelly Agustin. A mural was unveiled Thursday to honor a Montreal cancer advocate who touched the lives of thousands before passing away earlier this year. Nelly Agustin is portrayed in the mural in front of the Faubourg at the corner of Pierre Street and Police Street. Family members were on the hand of the unveiling. They lit candles and performed a sage smudge in front of the black and white mural. Transformed her pain into purpose, and she also created an incredible dream that inspired so many, said her father, Jess Agustin. We want that to be continued. With all the heartbreak, there's also a lot of celebration and the incredible accomplishments that she gave us. 5 months ago, Nelly passed away after a battle with a breast cancer that started in 2013. Heartbreaking, but it was also the same time heart-healing because of all the things she left us. She continues to inspire us, said her father. She is always, it's hard to talk in past tense, she's always present everywhere in signs and symbols. The cancer advocate, best-selling author, public speaker, and social media influencer became an inspiration for countless people in the city and beyond through her words and actions. The new mural in downtown Montreal pays tribute to her and will be a permanent reminder of what she still means to so many. It was commissioned by her brother, Justine Agustin. She's left such a legacy and we're so proud of everything that she's done and she continues to help people all around the world, said Justine. As hard as it is, we're just so very proud of everything that she's accomplished and her name is going to continue to live on. She had a mission and her mission was to touch people and to help people. Everything that she has left behind, her book, A Diary of Nelly, continues to inspire and help people. And I'm going to do everything I can with my voice and my platform to continue her legacy. She's just an angel looking over our city, and we hope that every time someone passes by it, they will recognize and remember her. The artist who painted the mural was Jasmine Dearden, who also did a mural for Alicia Keys. incidentally Nelly's favorite musical artist. The location was chosen near Concordia University, where Nelly studied communications. This specific piece was really meaningful for me because I always pick women who are not just beautiful, but also very inspiring, and Nelly is a definition of a woman who is beautiful not only outside but inside, Dearden said. The article I just read you is written in August 25, 2022. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is John Marvin, your local news reporter for this week.
Thank you so much, John Marvin, for the current news articles from both the Philippines and Teotihuacan, Montreal. Before moving on to community announcements, I'd love to play you a song called Awit ng Barkada by Apo Hiking Society. Please enjoy.
Nakasimangot ka na lang palagi, parang ikaw lang ang nagmamay-ari ng lahat ng sama ng loob. Pagmumukha mo ay hindi maipinta, nakalimutan mo na bang tumawa? E sumasayad na ang uso mo sa lupa. Kahit sino pa man ang may kagagawan ng iyong pagkabigo, ay isipin na lang na ang buhay kung minsan ay nagbibiro. Nandirito kami ang barkada mong tunay aawit sa'yo. Sa lungkot at ligaya, hirap at ginhawa, kami kasama mo. Sa pag-ibig may pinag-awayan, kung sa lapi ay wag nang pag-usapan, tayo'y di nagbibilangan. Kung ang problema mo'y nagkatambakan, ang mga utang di na mabayaran, lahat ng bagay ay nadadaan sa usapan. Kahit sino pa man ang may kagagawan ng iyong pagkabigo, ay isipin na lang na ang buhay kung minsan ay nagbibiro. Nandito kami ang barkada mong tunay aawit sa'yo. Sa lungkot at ligaya, hirap at ginhawa, kami kasama mo. Kaligayahan, maging malalim o may kababawan, sa'yo ay may nakalaan. Kami asahan at huwag kalimutan, maging ito ay madalas o minsan, pagkat iba na nga ang may pinasamahan. Kahit sino pa man ang may kagagawa ng iyong pagkabigo, ay isipin na lang na ang buhay kung minsan ay nagbibiro. Nandito kami ang barkada mong tunay aawit sa'yo. Sa lungkot at ligaya, hirap at ginhawa, kami kasama mo.
Kasama mo.
Kasama mo. Kasama mo.
We've arrived at the last part of our episode. Thank you to everyone who joined us today at Radyo Kapwa on 90.3 CKUT FM. Now on to community announcements. Community, listen up. Friday, September 2nd, our talented friends from Bahai Collective will be performing at the Festival Viet de Montréal, which will be held at L'Esplanade du Parc Olympique. Next up, Queer Kwentuhan. A photography exhibit will be held on September 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Studio Space, 372 St. Catherine Street West, Suite 124. Next up, Defund the SPVM Community Organization will be hosting their annual Defund la Police Festival also on September 10 from noon to 8 p.m. at NDG Park. Next up, Sustainable Concordia will be offering an 8-week course starting September 21st and introducing folks to the basics of community organizing for social and environmental justice. It is open to students, community members, and others interested in environmental and social advocacy. Registration ends September 5th. Find their link in their IG bio at sustainable_concordia. So after all these community announcements, I'd like to just say happy back to school to all the students. Extra love and special mentions to Vanier College, Concordia, and McGill University Student Associations and all PhilCASA member schools. Have a wonderful semester. And last but not least, big shout out to Micaela Aquino and Benny Mestizo for helping in creating Radyo Kapwa's awesome jingle. This has been Laura from Hiraya Productions. Mabuhay!
Liberation for one is liberation for all. Tuloy ang laban.
You are listening to CKUT in Montreal!
United Church, Cinema Politica, and Catbird Productions are proud to invite you to a special community screening of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardon. This special event will take place in Little Burgundy's historic Union United Church on Thursday, September 1st at 7 p.m., and the screening will be followed by a discussion with the director and participants from the film. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. Make sure not to miss this special event. Admission is on a first-come, first-served basis, and a minimum donation of $5 for the church is highly recommended. This event is sponsored by Caisse des Jardins du Sud-Ouest de Montréal and the Sud-Ouest Borough of Montreal. For more information, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Montrealers were so proud it happened in their city.
MTL versus racism.
Montreal versus racism.
MTL versus racism.
A concert united against racism and discrimination.
Un concert uni contre racisme et la discrimination.
Saturday, the 10th of September, 6 to 10 p.m. in Girouard Park.
Samedi, le 10 septembre, 18h à 22h à Parc Girouard, NDG.
Avec des performances de
Jonathan Emile.
Shawit.
Maritza.
Remy Picasso.
Paul Carniello.
DJ Lady Oracle.
Collecte de fonds pour Résilience Montréal.
Raising money for Resilience Montreal.
Tout le monde et tous les âges sont bienvenus.
Everybody is welcome.
This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Join us for this year's edition of Shoney Market, winner of the Time Out's Best New Event Award for 2021. Shoney Market is a parade of 200 corgis, flavors from around the world, with over $3,000 in student giveaways from Desjardins and incredible artists like High Classified, Perio Millennial, and Mansa and Friends. To learn more about the programming, participating restaurants, and contests, head to Instagram at ShoneyMTL. That's ShoneyMTL. Shoney Market, the taste of downtown. From September 8th to 11th, between the Guy Concordia and Atwater metro stations.
If your last vaccination against COVID-19 was more than 5 months ago, it's time to get another dose.
Boosting your antibodies reduces the risk of getting or transmitting the virus. And booster doses help reduce the number of hospitalizations and deaths related to COVID-19. For better protection against the virus, book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine and follow the recommended vaccination schedule. Vaccination against COVID-19, a good way of extending our protection. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
MTL versus racism.
Montreal versus racism.
MTL versus racism.
A concert united against racism and discrimination.
Un concert uni contre racisme et la discrimination.
Saturday, the 10th of September, 6 to 10 p.m. in Girouard Park.
Samedi, le 10 septembre, 18h à 22h à Parc Girouard Indifié.
Avec des performances de
Jonathan Emile.
Shawit.
Maritza.
Rami Picasso.
Paul Carniello.
DJ Lady Oracle.
Collecte de fonds pour Résilience Montréal.
Raising money for Resilience Montreal.
Tout le monde et tous les âges sont bienvenus.
Everybody is welcome.
This is a CKUT co-presentation.
CKUT in the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.